All right, so today we are going deep, deep into regional pilgrimages,
Sure.
specifically the Pandharpur pilgrimage in Maharashtra, India. We have got some fascinating historical texts, architectural analyses, and some geographical insights to help guide us along the way.
Nice.
So get ready, everyone, to explore how this incredible journey, especially the tradition of palkis, or processions, connects diverse communities across the region.
You know what's immediately captivating about the Pandharpur pilgrimage is its sheer scale and its enduring legacy. We are talking about millions of devotees from all walks of life converging on the town of Pandharpur annually,
Oh, wow.
a tradition that potentially dates back to the medieval period.
Wow, that's incredible. Okay, so for those who might not be familiar, what exactly makes Pandharpur so special?
While Pandharpur is considered sacred due to its association with Vithoba, a highly revered deity in Maharashtra, he is believed to be a form of Vishnu. The town itself becomes a focal point for religious fervor, drawing people from various backgrounds and social strata.
So it's not just a religious experience, it's a cultural phenomenon as well.
It really is.
And speaking of culture, I'm really intrigued by how the pilgrimage routes actually traverse the diverse landscapes of Maharashtra. It's like the geography itself plays a role in this whole experience.
You're absolutely right. The pilgrimage routes, they're not just paths, they're threads woven into the fabric of the region. We see them crossing mountains and plains and following the courses of rivers, particularly the Krishna River, which holds deep religious significance in the area.
The Krishna River. I'm curious about that. Does it have a specific role in the pilgrimage?
Definitely. The Krishna is considered sacred in Hinduism, and its presence along the pilgrimage routes adds another layer of meaning to the journey. Some devotees even believe that bathing in its waters can purify them and bring them closer to Vithoba.
That adds a whole new dimension to the idea of the pilgrimage as a journey. You know, you're not just traveling across land, you're traversing sacred geography.
Precisely. And this intricate connection between faith and geography becomes even more apparent when we look at the palkis.
Okay, let's talk about those. From what I've read, the palkis are these elaborate processions full of music and color. They're a central part of the Pandharpur pilgrimage. But what's their specific purpose?
The palkis are essentially processions carrying the padukas, which are symbolic footprints of revered saints to Pandharpur. They're more than just parades, they're living embodiments of faith, carrying the spiritual legacy of these saints across the land.
So they're like mobile shrines, in a way. And are there specific saints associated with these palkis?
Yes, the two most famous palkis are those of Saint Tukaram and Saint Nyaneshwar, both highly influential figures in Maharashtra's religious history. Their teachings and poetry continue to resonate with people even today, and their palkis attract a huge following during the pilgrimage.
I can imagine. So we've got these incredible processions full of symbolism and tradition moving across this diverse landscape. It must be an amazing sight to behold. But I'm also curious about the practical side of things. How did these processions actually work? I mean, are there specific routes they follow, or is it more of a free-flowing journey?
The palki routes are actually quite structured. They follow well-established paths that have evolved over centuries, often incorporating significant landmarks like temples, shrines, and even specific trees or groves considered sacred.
So it's almost like a pilgrimage within a pilgrimage with these smaller destinations along the way.
Exactly. And these stops aren't just about religious observance. They also provide opportunities for rest, communal meals, and the sharing of stories and teachings, making the journey as much about social interaction as it is about spiritual progress.
It sounds like a truly immersive experience, connecting people to the landscape, the traditions, and to each other. But I imagine organizing these massive processions must be quite a logistical feat.
You're absolutely right. It requires a tremendous amount of coordination and community involvement. Villages along the routes often take turns hosting the palkis, providing food, accommodation, and even assisting with the upkeep of the palanquins themselves.
Wow, that's incredible. It really highlights how deeply ingrained this pilgrimage is in the social fabric of Maharashtra. You mentioned the palanquins, and I'm curious about their design. Are they elaborate, or are they kept simple as a symbol of humility?
The palanquins themselves are often quite ornate, reflecting the artistic traditions of the region. They can be adorned with intricate carvings, colorful fabrics, and even precious metals, making them visual spectacles that add to the grandeur of the procession.
That makes sense. It's almost like turning the act of carrying the saint's footprints into a form of artistic expression. But beyond the visual spectacle, what really intrigues me is the idea that these processions bring together people from such diverse backgrounds. Can you elaborate on that a bit more?
The Penripur pilgrimage is remarkable for its inclusivity. People from all castes, classes, and even different faiths participate in the processions, creating a temporary space where social hierarchies are blurred and a sense of shared purpose prevails.
So it's not just about connecting people to a deity, it's about connecting them to each other. That's a powerful concept. But is it truly that unified in practice? Were there ever instances of tension or conflict?
While the pilgrimage generally fosters harmony, there have been historical instances of social tensions, reflecting broader societal issues. However, the overall spirit of the pilgrimage leans towards inclusivity and shared devotion, with people often setting aside their differences for the duration of the journey.
That's fascinating. It speaks to the complexities of human interaction, even within a context as unifying as a pilgrimage. But it also underscores the enduring power of this tradition to bring people together. And speaking of tradition, I know that the poetry and music associated with saints like Tukaram and Dineshwar play a big role in the pilgrimage. Can you tell me more about that?
Absolutely. The devotional songs and poems of these saints are an integral part of the Palki processions. They're sung, chanted, and even performed in dramatic retellings along the routes, keeping their teachings alive and inspiring the pilgrims. These works often explore themes of love, devotion, and social justice, resonating with people from all walks of life.
It's like the pilgrimage becomes a living embodiment of their legacy, carrying their words and ideas across the land. I imagine that adds a whole other layer of meaning to the experience, connecting people not just to a physical place, but to a shared cultural and spiritual heritage.
Precisely. And this cultural heritage is also reflected in the architecture we encounter along the pilgrimage routes. Temples and shrines become more than just places of worship. They transform into repositories of art, history, and storytelling, offering glimpses into the rich tapestry of Maharashtra's past.
That makes me think of the saying, every journey tells a story. In this case, it seems like the Pandharpur pilgrimage tells a multifaceted story woven from geography, faith, tradition, and the shared experiences of countless individuals.
You've captured it perfectly. And as we delve deeper into this story, we begin to understand the true significance of this pilgrimage, not just as a religious event, but as a microcosm of Maharashtra's cultural landscape.
I'm eager to explore that further.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Krishna River earlier, and I'm curious to know if there are other geographical features that play a significant role in shaping the pilgrimage experience. Mm. What about the Western Ghats, for example? They run through a significant portion of Maharashtra. Do they factor into the roots or the symbolism of the pilgrimage in any way?
You've hit on a fascinating point there. The Western Ghats definitely hold a presence in the context of the Pandharpur pilgrimage, though perhaps not in the way one might initially assume.
Okay.
While some routes may skirt the edges of these mountains, the Ghats themselves aren't central to the pilgrimage's path in the same way that the Krishna River is.
That's interesting. So it's not just about physical geography. It's about the cultural and symbolic significance attached to specific locations.
Precisely. The Western Ghats, while geographically imposing, don't hold the same level of religious resonance for the Pandharpur pilgrimage. The focus remains on the plains, the river valleys, and the towns and villages that have sprung up along these routes over centuries.
So it's about a specific kind of sacred geography, one that's shaped by both the natural landscape and the layers of human history and belief that have been woven into it.
Exactly. And that's what makes this pilgrimage so compelling. It's not just about reaching a destination. It's about experiencing a landscape that's imbued with meaning, with stories, with the echoes of countless journeys taken before.
It makes you think about the motivations behind those journeys. What compels people to undertake this arduous pilgrimage, sometimes traveling for weeks on foot?
Well, the motivations are as diverse as the pilgrims themselves.
Yeah.
Some seek solace, a connection to the divine, or perhaps a sense of belonging within a community of believers. Others may be fulfilling vows, seeking blessings, or even atoning for past deeds.
It's a journey that touches upon such fundamental human needs. The need for connection, for purpose, for something that transcends the everyday.
And for many, it's also about personal transformation. The pilgrimage becomes a process of self-discovery, of pushing one's limits, of confronting both physical and spiritual challenges.
So it's not just about arriving at Pandharpur, it's about the journey itself, about the growth and change that occur along the way.
Absolutely. And those transformations, those personal stories, become woven into the larger narrative of the pilgrimage, enriching it with each passing generation.
It's like we've been saying throughout this deep dive. The Pandharpur pilgrimage is a tapestry woven from geography, faith, tradition, and the shared experiences of countless individuals. And with each thread, with each journey taken, that tapestry becomes richer and more vibrant.
Beautifully put. And as we conclude our exploration of this fascinating tradition, I'm left with a sense of awe at its enduring power to connect people, places, and the deepest yearnings of the human spirit.
I couldn't agree more. This deep dive has truly opened my eyes to the profound significance of regional pilgrimages, and specifically the Pandharpur pilgrimage, as a microcosm of Maharashtra's cultural and spiritual landscape. It's a reminder that sometimes the most profound journeys are not just about the destination, but about the paths we take, the connections we forge, and the transformations we undergo along the way.
And on that note, I invite our listeners to ponder this. What is it about pilgrimage, about these journeys of faith and self-discovery that continues to resonate with us across cultures and throughout history? What is it that draws us to these paths, and what do we hope to find along the way?
Those are questions worth pondering indeed. A huge thank you to you for sharing your expertise and insights with us today. It's been an enlightening journey. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the heart of Maharashtra. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking those connections that enrich our understanding of the world around us.